The Old Testament lesson for the third Sunday of Easter is written in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle is written in St. Peter's first letter to the church, the second chapter. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, blessings to all of you on this third Sunday of Easter, dear ones. I have to tell you, when I was contemplating the Holy Scriptures this week and preparing my homily for you, I was awestruck by all the different ways they describe our Lord and his relationship he has with his people, to include us. I was in awe of the fact that if you search the scriptures, you will see there are many images in and through which the nature of the church is depicted and described. Our Lord has masterfully woven together a rich tapestry of images illustrating God's relationship to his holy people, the people he's called out of the world and united to himself through his Son in the Spirit. You might think first of the body of Christ, that we are all members one of another, knitted together in a single body and joined to our head, the Lord Jesus. You might also think of a temple, a dwelling place for the living God, made up not of inanimate stones, but living stones, all of us, very much alive. You may also think of a great vineyard, Christ our Lord being the true vine, and us being the branches, organically united to him, receiving our sustenance and nourishment from him, and bearing fruit. But certainly one of the most famous and one of the most endearing and revealing, to be sure, is the one our Savior gives us in our gospel text today, that we are the beloved sheep of the Good Shepherd, and we hear his voice. And I must say, Christ calling us his sheep reveals a great deal about us in the first place. It reveals a great deal about our hearts and what we're like spiritually and theologically, things which, at the very least, dear ones, ought to humble every one of us. Because if you know anything about tending sheep, you know that they are, shall we say, far from being the most intelligent creatures to walk the earth. Sometimes when a shepherd leads them to a gate, you know, to the sheepfold, they're unable to find it when it's within plain sight. They just are unable to go through what's right in front of them. All they have to do is just walk through it, and they simply can't. They're also completely dependent on their shepherd for safety. They, of course, don't have wings to fly or stingers or scaly armor to protect them. They certainly don't. No, they need a shepherd that can fend off predators and protect them, or they really won't stand a chance. They are entirely dependent on him for protection, as they are for finding food and water and shelter, and for finding them when they wander off. Sheep are very much prone to wandering away over and over and over again, getting tangled up in thick brush and thorns that can leave them bleeding, lacerated, and infected. Dear ones, sheep are very much dependent, helpless creatures, very much so. And so let me ask you, dear ones, what do these things preach to you? What does it say to you that the Lord Christ himself likens us to sheep in this way? What does it say to you about what we're like from his perspective? For my part, it's certainly humbling, because in the sinful things we think and say and do, we act irrationally, bestial even. In our sin, we sometimes find ourselves incapable of seeing the good thing our shepherd leads us to when it's right there in front of us, when it's within plain sight, staring us in the face. When we know, for example, we should diligently read and take to heart the Holy Scriptures each and every day and hear his voice therein, drinking in his words with our ears and with our souls, like our lives depend on it, because they do. This and other things like them that surely you've seen and observed within yourselves, these are indicative of the very dark, animalistic desires of our sinful flesh, actively leading us away from the voice of the Good Shepherd. away from what we both know is truly good for us, according to his word, into sins that leave us spiritually, if not physically, bruised, bleeding, and infected, and in places where the great infernal wolf, the devil, lies in wait to devour you, whether you're aware he's there or not. Dear ones, it's incredibly revealing that our Lord likens us to sheep. For sheep he calls us, and sheep we truly are. But we're his sheep, and he is the good shepherd. He's our shepherd. And just as the things we say and do reveal much about our hearts and what we're like, so too the things the Lord Jesus says and does reveal much about his merciful heart and who he is to us. Because when we were lost down deep in the dark ravine of this fallen world, our shepherd gladly, gladly descended and sought us out to call us with his holy word, calling us by name, and to rescue us even when we sought him not. Even when we were caught and entangled in the thick brush and thorns of our sins, it pleased him to enter into our pain and affliction and even bear our sins in his body on the tree, and to lay hold of us and free us from these things and to win us to himself. Reaching in, he gave his sacred head to be wrapped in thorns, that the bonds of sin would be removed from us. His holy body he let be lacerated and bloodied so that by his stripes we would be healed. And when the infernal wolf drew near, the good shepherd, dear ones, he gladly, willingly laid down his life and gave himself into the jaws of our great adversary that we would have life and be saved through his great sacrifice on our account. And so by his words, dear ones, by the things he does and continues to do for us, the merciful heart of our good shepherd is revealed to you. It's revealed that he is not selfish, but he would have your heart cling to him in faith above all else, and that your deepest affections would be reserved for him. He is not envious, but he is jealous for your love and trust, and that when he calls out after you, when you wander away from him, he does so not out of spite, but in mercy, that you'd return to his side and to that which he knows is truly best for you, the good things, the better things that he leads you to in life and in death. And he's by no means arrogant or boastful, but he does rejoice with the angels of heaven to claim you as his own through holy baptism and receive you into his little flock who hear his voice and know him intimately as he knows the Father. And so then, dear ones, let every day, let this be your mindset and the pious habit that you cultivate. That but you break away, perhaps before bed, you break away from all the chaos and activity of daily life, knowing that you have someone waiting to speak to you. And not just anyone, but the Good Shepherd, waiting to speak to you through the Holy Scriptures and reveal his merciful heart to you once more, that you would know and delight in him more fully, more deeply, even as he knows and delights in the Father and in you. For the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd who's laid down his life for us and whose voice we listen to because our very lives depend on it. And to him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.